We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Happy to bring back Bill McSwain. Every other week he'll be with us, former U.S. attorney, and potentially someone looking at running for governor in Pennsylvania with a lot of expertise and thoughtfulness on how key that role is, governor. Let's go to Bill in on Talk Radio. Whoops. Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill McSwain. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, Dom. Great to join you.
Well, I know one of the things we wanted to talk about are your thoughts on what happened during the lockdown, the excess of it, et cetera. I don't know if you've been following, because I know you have a busy schedule, but it's pretty clear the CDC is announcing that schools are back to masking, and probably everybody indoors, either vaccinated or not. And these are all steps, though, that potentially then can get to a lockdown on top of the masking. What are your thoughts?
Well, it does seem that we're going in a potentially troubling direction. And in some ways, it's counterproductive, because if you want to get people to get vaccinated, you have to show them the benefits of being vaccinated. And one benefit is having life going back to normal, not having to take all the mitigation measures and not having to wear a mask, for example. So I think it's, in some ways, stepping on the narrative that the government seems to want to put forward, which is people need to get vaccinated. And just also more generally, everybody needs to make their own, I think, risk calculus. And for example, if you look at people who are older, most older Americans have gotten vaccinated, right? Because they're at high risk.
Yes.
And if you have younger folks, or you have folks who have particular reasons not to get vaccinated, then, you know, their rates are lower. So everybody needs, I think, to have the freedom to make their own risk calculus here. And also, you know, the whole point of the mitigation measures should have been to protect the vulnerable. Well, now we're in a situation where largely the vulnerable are protected. I mean, fortunately, we have these wonderful vaccines. So it's like the goalposts keep getting moved every time we turn around. And that's the reason why you're starting to hear chatter about more possible lockdowns, you know, masking in schools, all these things that I think we need to get past that. The right way to do the mitigation in the first place was to protect the vulnerable and then let other people sort of get on with their lives. And we can certainly do that now with the vaccine. We're at that point. So I don't think we need to go backwards by talking about lockdowns.
And Bill McSwain, yesterday, I guess it came down, the Department of Justice, at least in one part of this, said with New York and other states, and I include Pennsylvania on this, I think this should be a big issue in the governor's race. We still don't know if there was criminal behavior here or just sheer incompetency in how Wolf and Rachel Levine handled the nursing home crisis. I think they followed the lead of Cuomo, which was a disaster. And to your point, Ron DeSantis and others saw this very clearly. And was there a cover-up? The Department of Justice just said yesterday they're not going to prosecute. It seems to me this is the Department of Justice not wanting to fully look at this thing, and it's critical in the next race because it's the hallmark of being a governor. That was probably the biggest decision that Wolf has had.
Yeah, the letter that they issued said not only are they not going to prosecute, but it's actually more troubling than that. They're not even going to investigate. Because what we were doing when, and I was U.S. attorney, because I was involved in this, was making data requests to Pennsylvania, to Governor Wolf, and in New York, and in Michigan, and a few other states. The data requests were made. It was a preliminary step, which could lead to a further investigation to figure out if there was any wrongdoing. Well, President Biden has now come in. He has a new attorney general, and they issued a letter the other day basically saying, we're not even going to bother to investigate. And I don't think that's the way this should be handled. I think that it should be thoroughly investigated in order to find out what the facts are.
I couldn't agree more. Bill McSwain, biweekly visit with us. Bill, I wrote down something to talk with you about today because it seems to me you're hearing enough voices out there saying we have to continue to try new things to stop this violence, homicide rate, et cetera, because we really don't know what to do. They're trying to convince the public that this is new territory. And I think if you run or someone like you, I would make the message every day. This is not a question of knowing what to do. We know exactly what to do, and you did it here in Philadelphia. It's do we have the will to do it? And the progressive side certainly doesn't have the will or the ideology to want to do it. So what would you say to that idea that we know exactly what to do to curtail this and maybe put a big dent in it?
There are proven strategies to bring down the violent crime, and unfortunately, our current leaders are not willing to pursue them. Instead, they fall back on things like the pandemic excuse. They say, well, this spike in violence is just because of the pandemic. I actually think that's probably completely wrong. In many ways, the pandemic has kept violence down. And now that we're going to go back to things being opened up, you're going to see even more violence. You know, we got things going in totally in the wrong direction. But deterrence works. A targeted prosecution works. In the most serious cases, mandatory minimum sentencing works. And these are all things that we could do literally tomorrow if we had the political will. But unfortunately, we have leaders who make excuses for crime, make excuses for criminals, and allow law-abiding citizens to be terrorized. And one of the things that I have learned as a prosecutor in my career is that much of the most serious violent crime, certainly the kind of crime that we dealt with on the federal level, is committed by a small percentage of the population, very small percentage. And you need to be tough with that small percentage of people. There is a small percentage of people who absolutely need to be in jail. And if they're not in jail because of undercharging cases or not charging cases or not pursuing probation violations or just generally taking a soft on crime, you know, Krasner type of approach to things, those are the people who pull the trigger. Those are the people who commit the murders. Those are the people who terrorize neighborhoods. And it's unfair for law-abiding citizens to have to put up with this because the first job of government is to keep people safe.
That is beautifully put. I believe that in my heart of hearts because their profession is to be a career criminal. They wake up whatever they do, Bill, and they're going to commit one crime after another. If you follow them around, people would be amazed how many criminal acts or near criminal acts they're involved in. A friend of mine, Mike Chitwood, the former head of police out in Upper Darby, has a piece up at Delaware Valley Journal today saying this is starting to bleed into the suburbs and will bleed into the suburbs unless there's different leadership. You're traveling the state, you're talking to people. Is this an issue where suburbanites, I'm thinking they still have not quite gotten it yet because it hasn't struck home in Doylestown or wherever. It seems to be in the news media's mind just in places like Philadelphia.
It is starting in some ways to bleed into the suburbs and people in the suburbs certainly pay attention to it. You can't build a moat or build a wall around Philadelphia. But also there's an aspect to it where Philadelphia relies on people visiting. Philadelphia relies on tourism, and Philadelphia relies on people from the suburbs coming in and spending money in the city. So they're absolutely connected, and people are scared. People are worried about the violent crime and the random shootings and the homicides in Philadelphia and the robberies and everything that goes with visiting the city. And so it absolutely is something that affects suburban voters. And it's something that you know, for Philadelphia to grow and be a world-class city, it needs to fix this problem. And really, what's good for Philadelphia is good for the rest of the state, right? We are the biggest city in mm-hmm. the Commonwealth. And so if Philadelphia has this reputation as the murder capital of the country, which is what's happening, because now per capita, we have the highest murder rate of major cities in the country, even higher than Chicago. That is not good for Philadelphia, obviously, but it's also terrible for Pennsylvania.
Parting question for Bill McSwain. Critical race theory is, as I mentioned a moment ago to listeners, the Delaware Valley Journal's got a piece today of this Zoom call of a bunch of school counselors now, not teachers, selling this idea and talking how in their role they're going to do it with kids and they're going to do it in schools, et cetera. But it's all over the place. It's in corporate America. It's even in the military. You're a former military guy. What are your thoughts on this?
I think we need to go back to basics on this, Tom. I really do. I think that we need to judge people based on the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. What matters is what's inside people, not what's on the outside. And that's certainly what Dr. King preached in his life. So any teaching in our schools that prejudges people based on race is wrong. Prejudgment equals prejudice. And we shouldn't be teaching our children to prejudge people based on race, whether they're black or brown or white. We shouldn't be prejudging white people either based on race. And I think the fundamental problem with CRT, with critical race theory, is that it teaches people to prejudge others based on race. And that's not something we should have in our schools.
Without a doubt. Where do we follow Bill McSwain until the next go round 2 weeks from today, Bill?
You can follow me on Twitter at McSwainPA and also visit my PAC website, freedompapac.com. And I should be making an announcement one way or the other very soon about my intentions for the future.
Oh, well, this is a good vehicle, a good place to do that, Bill.
Well, Dom, you'll be one of the first to know. And
okay.
I appreciate having this regular biweekly gig with you. I enjoy it, and I like my Dom time.
All right. You got it. Anytime, Bill, anytime that you want. Thank you, Bill. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. There's Bill McSwain here. Dan, I always do that. You know, it's the host has to do it. Well, this is as good a spot as any. It's gentle, right? Now, behind the scenes, get on with this guy, and let's make that happen when he announces. Yeah.
Doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Yes. It wasn't even an ask. Well, this is a good spot. It was a very gentle thing.
Or a gentle tell.
Passive aggressive, yes.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.